Request no rejoin. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Come with confidence, knowing that that great atoning work was accepted by the Father. He raised him up from the dead, set him on the right hand of majesty, sent back the Holy Spirit as a witness. Blessed be his wonderful name. That same Holy Spirit is here to minister every blessing, all that we have need of. If we have faith and belief, that work was a finished work, a complete work, a perfect work. Everything that was required by the law to satisfy the just demands of a holy God was met in that sacrifice. We can come boldly tonight. Let's look away from our own selves, our own ability. It's a sin to trust in our own ability. He wants us to trust in his merit. Not in any merit of our own, we have none. There's nothing that we can bring of our own selves. But we can come and stand with faith and identify ourselves with what he has done. That is acceptable in his sight. Then when you stand praying, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus. Precious, precious Jesus. We thank you tonight, Father. We feel your presence here. It encourages our heart. It lifts our faith. It reminds us of your love for us. We see our insufficiency. We see our unworthiness. And we realize you love us, oh God. Not because of any good thing that we have done. For it is written, while we are sinners, you died for us. Herein is the love of God. Not that we love you. Well, you loved us first, and you gave yourself to be the propitiation for our sins. Because of that, we want to be sincere tonight, Father. We want to come, Lord, with deepness of heart. We want to come and in sincerity confess our wrong. Lord, our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures, all where we fail you in thought, in word, and in deed. Where, Lord God, we even fail you unconsciously, oh God. Your precious blood be applied to our confession tonight. And that, dear God, your Holy Spirit will anoint our hearts and draw us, Lord, within the veil, dear God. We could stand in the presence of the living God. We could be overshadowed by a great Shekinah glory. Oh, God, where we make our request, dear God, tonight. Lord, as you present our needs before thee, O God, Father, your Holy Spirit can minister to each and every one. Lord, you promise that you will meet every need according to your riches. We thank you, dear God, for the faith that we fill our hearts. Lord God, we can ask, dear God, and not disbelieve, but we can ask with faith and believe that we have received what we ask for. I pray, dear God, you would touch our sister with that rational body, O God. Lord God, may in the name of Jesus Christ, the great grace of the living God, come down over our sister Claxton, Lord. May you touch her, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord God, may she be delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, rebuke that skin infection, oh God. May she be made well for the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, every need that your children have tonight, as they stand in your house, as they stand on holy ground, as they stand under the blood of Jesus Christ, as they stand with faith here, believing in the promise of God tonight, I pray that the Spirit of the living God, Father, would minister a blessing unto them tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, may you grant it tonight, Father. We've gathered here in your house. We so appreciate this opportunity that we can come and fellowship around your word. Oh God, we just feel that you're doing something special for us in this season. How we want to understand it, how we want to yield and submit it, how we want to be led deeper by your Spirit in it, how we want to capitalize in these moments and these opportunities of blessing, oh God. How, dear God, we pray that the Spirit of God would quicken us, oh God, bring us to a greater realization tonight. Lord, you make your word so real. You'll drive it down in our hearts, dear God, where we fail in the sin, oh God. Father, you would so make it so real that an entrance could be ministered abundantly into this great place. Oh God, into this blessing, oh God, that every heart can be filled and overflowing. Oh God, every life can be straightened, oh God, stabilized, established, rooted and grounded, oh God. Lord, even though their homes, they are going to flow out in such a way that when the people gather together to worship, oh God, around that family altar, they can feel the grace of God. Hallelujah! Blessing them, Lord. They can see a transformation, dear God. They can see a change where whatever need that they would have. Oh God, spiritual, material, financial. Lord, whatever it is, that the Holy Ghost, Lord, will give them the victory in every situation. Oh God, you the prayer answering God would meet every need tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you, dear God. Make these things much more real unto us. Oh God, as you prepare us, as you make us ready in this hour, that we can see and we can understand that the Holy Spirit is bringing to pass the word that you spoke, Lord. Sometimes we just think it's some ordinary thing. Sometimes we fail to realize, Lord, it is you bringing to pass your word, the word that you spoke, the promise of this hour, the way that you're leading us and guiding us into these things. Sometimes, oh God, we stumble over the simplicity of it, but I pray tonight, dear God, that Lord, if we just come and sit in your presence, that the Holy Ghost would just make this thing so real, our souls be so raptured. Oh God, these great supernatural things. Lord, our faith can burst forth into that realm, Lord. Oh God, we can just be so led. He says, many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, like you led Simeon. Oh God, the things you are believing for. Lord, he had a faith, he had expectations, but then one day he saw with the eyes what his faith was believing for. One day he held in his hands and he touched the word of life, that which was from the beginning. Hallelujah! The promise was revealed in his heart, was now being made materialized. Hallelujah! The same Holy Ghost that gave the revelation was now leading him, Lord, into the fulfillment. Hallelujah, so that revelation being made manifest. Hallelujah. He was now connected to his revelation, not just with faith, but oh God, he could touch it, Lord. He could confess that this is that which you was believing for. He said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen thy salvation. And Lord, when we see and recognize that you the very same God, still leading sons by the Spirit, oh God, to recognize, hallelujah, the word coming from the invisible to the visible. Oh, that materializing, breaking forth amongst us. Hallelujah. Oh, God, right in the temple of God, in the house of God. Hallelujah. Lord, make it real, Father. We pray, dear God, that our faith will be so inspired. Lord, we bring that realm like real spiritual astronauts, eagles of this day, Father, breaking them barriers and soaring out into the supernatural, where faith is anointed for the supernatural in this hour. How I depend upon you tonight. Now, as I come in this pulpit, oh God, Lord, just so busy trying to prepare and get ready to go overseas, not even having time to sit and study, but in my heart, I walk in faith. I walk with the revelation, Lord. I walk under your leadership. And Lord, I know the hour is here. The hour is coming, and now is, Lord, when we don't have time, maybe just to have an all-night prayer meeting or 2 hours lock away in some office. But Lord, we can say, why cry, speak and go forward. Oh, God is anointed, commissioned people in the line of duty. As people, oh God, in whose lives you have worked these past years to make this word spirit and life. Lord, we can stand under the anointing and speak Spirit spoken words. So I come as a channel of blessing and communication ordained for this people tonight, yielding and submitting myself in the fear of God to the Holy Spirit. Lord, take over now, I pray. I'm your prisoner, Lord. Bind me with the chains of your word. Speak to me as the oracle of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you get glory in the midst of your people, and may the word be ministered to the needs, and may you build up the faith in this church, I pray. We ask these things for thy glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Amen. Glory be to God. Let's just turn our Bibles tonight. I'd like to read St. John chapter 3. This will scripture reading to fellowship a little bit tonight. Just remain relaxed in his presence and see how he's going to lead us. St. John chapter 3 and St. John 14. Certainly appreciate being in his house tonight. Amen. It's always good to be in his presence. Come with you. Attitude to worship him, to exalt him, to lift him up, to encourage each other in the faith, to know we are living in the dawning of the greatest thing that ever took place in the Christian church, all that the believers of ages longed for, gave their lives for. They know that this day was coming. They know it was going to break forth into the eternal church age. Amen. When Jesus would come again among his people and reveal himself in such a way, and a rapture in faith would break forth upon the people. They look for that. Amen. But Abraham said, Paul, die with the faith. If he'd raise right now from the grave, he'd rise up screaming, running through the streets. In an hour time, he'd be in prison again. We got to die with that faith. Amen. Peter and them, they died with that faith. And the same way a man went down is how he's going to come back up. If they went down a drunkard or unbeliever, they'll come up that way. But if they went down in faith, they'll rise with faith. Amen. Blessed be his name. That's where we want to live. We want to live every day with that faith. Amen. Every day we want to live with that faith. Walk in that faith. St. John 3. John, you know, John is the eagle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. Amen. John writing here, he says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot understand it. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Jesus is talking to an old man, a priest, a rabbi, great respected, learned man, a teacher, a master. And he's talking about being born again. That man was thinking about dying. And Jesus is talking about a new birth. Amen. He says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He was in Ezekiel 37, you see. Jesus is speaking out Ezekiel 37. A new heart and a new spirit I'll give you. Sprinkle with clean water in these things. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, and cannot tell from where it cometh, and wait for it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? If you don't know nothing about the new birth, then you're going to just congregate people. Just going to just gather them and try to hold them together, and then get some activities for them to do, Christian activities, and get them busy in these things. But you will not be able to bring them into life. Then all these, if you gather them for 50 years, you will have unconverted people for 50 years. See? This is, you're the teaching, you don't know these things? Any teacher, if he's qualified to be a teacher, he has to know the new birth. He cannot even teach correctly if he don't have the new birth. See? So Jesus is now giving him, you see, that's why Jesus tell his own, don't even go and preach until you get the Holy Ghost. Is that right? See, he was coming to bring a new order here now. And look where he found the greatest of the priests in them. They didn't even know nothing about the new birth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify to that which we have seen. Can we say that? Yes. Oh my. We, you see, that's what it should be. We speak of that which we do know. Yes. And we testify that which we have seen. Yes. That's what real teaching is. He says, Nicodemus, all you have is theology. But we speak of what we know. We testify of what we have seen. That's why we do miracles. See? Because he says, we know that thou art the chosen of God, because no man can do these miracles except God through him. You see that? That's what attracted him to come by night. He said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You get that? He's trying to tell him something, Nicodemus. The problem with you all in that Pharisee church is you all need a new birth. You all have religion. You all have traditions. You all have rituals. You all have programs. You all have organizations. You all have seminaries. You all have religious activities. See, but you all still have the first birth. You all still live in the first birth. And that's why you can't see the kingdom of God. You understand? And that's why you will never know the supernatural. See? So he says, if I have told you earthly things, what was the earthly things? His birth. How could I tell you heavenly things? And you believe in that. See? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Oh, well, that just blew his mind. You see, we on top of the rooftop here. How do you mean you're in heaven right now? You see, but he was talking to the Word made flesh. This wasn't just a man who could come from thought to flesh. This was a man who was the Word. He came from thought to Word, then to flesh. And being in that theophany, he knows all things. He is omniscient. And because he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. Amen? In St. John 14. Now that's Jesus' first doctrine right there. Amen. That's the beginning of his ministry. Let's take the end of his ministry here, St. John 14. Because John 14 all the way to 17, he is dealing on the Holy Ghost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and these things, and then he goes straight out in John 18. In the Pilate judgment hall and his crucifixion and all these things. And he goes out. But here in John 12, when he pointed him to the cross, except a corner to fall on the ground and die, he'd abide alone, he had come to the end of the ministry. The hour has come, Father, glorify thy name again. And this in the hour has come, the Son of Man be glorified. He was facing Calvary. John 14, see at the end of the ministry here, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now he's not speaking to Nicodemus now. He's speaking to his elected, who he planted that word in. They were the ones who was going to receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen? So he's telling them now. For 3.5 years, he called his people out. He trained them. He planted his seed in them. He saw all the rest. The seed get choked under persecution. They fell away. He saw them come eat bread and fish and went back. He said, have not I chosen 12 and ones of the devil, St. John 6. Is that right? But here, the last ones now, his apostles, he's talking to them now. And he's telling them, he said, I will come again. He's revealing things to them now. He's going up into heavenly things now. In my Father's house now, where I come from. Where I'm going again. You understand that? He's telling them of heavenly things. He couldn't tell Nicodemus these things. He couldn't be. He can even understand his first birth was wrong. Much more to tell him about a theophany. But these who had come through water, who had come through blood, who had come to receive the promise of the Spirit, I will not leave you comfortless. The Spirit of truth is going to come to you in these things. He's telling them about that theophany. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. Verse 5. And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. How could he be the way? Because he was the word. He was the truth. And a guide was coming to guide them in the truth. In other words, they were seeing him like a man, but his life was living out something. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a preacher. He wasn't just a minister having meetings with a few followers. His life was revealing to them how to become the Word again. For he was sent for that purpose. See, so Thomas said to him, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us pray again. Oh God, for the next few moments, just a little fellowship, Lord, just to relax the people, just to review some of the things that we've been talking about, just to catch the feeling tonight, just as we feel the atmosphere is right for a talk like this, Lord. May your Holy Spirit just move in upon us. May even to the smallest one we could break forth into that supernatural realm. God, where you on the inside of the inside could visit us, and there could be such a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Anoint this congregation tonight that these things will become so simple, Lord. God will create a desire that will never ever leave us from this night. Like it says, and the Spirit of the Lord from that day onwards, as David, when Samuel poured that horn of oil, so Lord, maybe something happened this night in our hearts. Lord, we follow you with a closeness, Lord, with a sincerity like never before in our Christian experience. Because we believe the time is at hand, Lord, the hour is late. And as David said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Oh God, fix our heart and let our soul follow hard after thee. Like Elisha said, as the Lord lives my soul, I'll not leave nor forsake thee. Oh God, bring our hearts and our souls into that kind of experience. where to express that would come from the innermost and not from the lips, but it would come from a deep desire that have come from a true realization. Grant it, Lord. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So I trust you feel all right. So I just want to kind of speak to you, fellowship a little bit. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. So just bear with me. I'm kind of busy. It don't happen always. Sometimes you just find yourself in these kind of situations, but it's kind of easy if you're in a series, and that's why, you know, preaching for me is not trying to prepare a sermon, is trying to follow him who has been my light. Him who came to me, revealed himself to me back there in 1973. I'm trying to follow him, and where he lead me, I will follow. He has never proven himself wrong these years. I know it's right because it comes out in the Word. The Word never ceases to unfold, so no matter where I go geographically, I know my soul is going somewhere scripturally. And if my soul is going somewhere scripturally, even though my body go in different geographic places, you know, you go to work one day, you go home next day, you go and visit somebody one day, you go overseas and preach one day, you go and do this another day. But in your heart, you're following something in the Word. And all those experiences accumulate to reveal a picture showing how God's program prophesied for this day is coming to pass. When you see it in your own life, it proves that He is faithful, that He is true, that He keeps His Word. It confirms to you that you are elected, that your life is predestinated. Amen. Unto a promise. And God, in working in your life, is bringing to pass what He said. That brings you into a union. It gives comfort. It gives assurance. It anchors your soul. And when you just meditate on it, you just thank God for it, you just stay in the Word, and somehow He brings it out and show you what you have need of, and you will have confidence in His leadership. See, it is simple because it's simple to faith when faith is catching it. If you try to understand with your mind and with your five senses and your reasoning, you get frustrated because your flesh is not getting any feeling to excite you, to tell you, boy, God taking me through something. You see, but it's an experience not for the flesh, it's for the soul. And that's why I just stay with the Word. And the Word unfolds, you keep walking. And as you walk in the light, you find that more light unfolds and it brings you out into a perfect faith. I could imagine Abraham when he traveled that day. He was maybe farming, doing something down in Ur of the Chaldees. And God came to him and God called him out. It was a great experience for him. It was kind of supernatural, I guess. But I guess that all along inside his heart, he had a desire. He wanted to find a reality. There was something that just couldn't satisfy on the inside. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like sometimes, you know, you just reach to a place, you wish you could just go away for some months somewhere in the woods and just get in God's presence? And you feel that way because your soul is yearning, is crying out. And then God comes and tells you, you don't have to go in the woods for some months. Just stay in the Spirit. His Spirit will come to you. His Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Because He knows you have responsibilities. He knows you have things to do. You go out in the woods, He's going to take care of your home. He's going to take care of your children. He's going to take care of these things. You have to do as a posted duty. It's a battle to stand. There's a pressure to stand there sometimes, to hold you true. But because in your heart, you have a receiving set, you have a channel of communication, you can talk to Him. Whether you're driving your car, going home from work, you can talk to Him. Whether you're out in a job and you have your lunch hour and you slip away somewhere quiet, you can open your Bible and read for a while and just pray, and you can talk to Him. Whether your pot is in the fire and you just you know, in your kitchen there, just break right up, because, you know, I mean, even though we got in church here, this place is more designed for religious activity. Your kitchen is designed for domestic activity. A stove and a pot and a cupboard and a refrigerator and these things. But do you think it's because of a pulpit here and a fan here and acoustics here that will bring God? That's nothing to do with God. You know what I'm saying? So it's not these physical things, it's in your heart. So if your life is consecrated right in your kitchen, then right inside of there, God comes and you worship God right there, in spirit. Amen. And you know, it's a tremendous time for us as believers because, you know, I don't know. I guess you can only find out personally in somebody's individual life what they're really going through, what the message means to them, what it still means to them today after following it for many years. I guess that as we gather here tonight and, you know, we look forward maybe for the rest of the year or the coming year, or we look out in the future for the rest of the journey, we look at our own life and we figure maybe my days is coming into a close, or yours, or sometimes you may not feel well in your body. Sometimes some of you might be sick. I don't know how sick some of you might get sometimes. We don't have time to sit and discuss each person's area and what they go through. And, you know, sometimes you wish you can. Sometimes you wish you could sit everybody and find out what is done in everybody's life and what they go through in a little detail and listen to them and hear them talk of the experience and how God is dealing with them and different things and what they've seen and what they're expecting. I guess every minister maybe will desire that. But we live in an age, you know, and under conditions, it's such hustle and bustle and so much activity, so much to do. And then we don't just have our little individual lives to live. We are responsible for other things. Yes. It's not just that you have your life to live and maybe you have time or you don't have time. You have maybe children to see about. You have your rent to pay. You have work to get done. You have bills to see about. You have children to raise. You have school opening and so much things that, you know, maybe just get in place. And you have your own spiritual life and so much things designed for God. And maybe you've seen that long time, you didn't get a chance to really consecrate your life and really get down in the spirit and these things, and it might be tough. And then sometimes again, you know, the way things may look bleak sometimes, and you go through a testing time, and it's just finding a spot where you might be in need of some real good fellowship. Maybe when you look for the past few months you've come through, you haven't had real quality fellowship. You might just be able to come in service and hear the word, but to really go home and sit down and meditate on it and get aside and pray over it and grasp it and listen it back and see how much it was really catching in this service. You know, we've been 3 months now preaching right in this little series here. And look and see the volume of truth that God has opened up. We can tell that services has been, you know, enlightening and so much different things. I go back, you know, and start to speak from the course that sin takes and different things, and going back and bring up some of those things and, you know, overcoming it from the tree of life and some of the messages and that we started. You might hardly even remember what was being spoken. We don't have to remember all the details, but there's a picture being communicated to us. There's a certain emphasis that the Spirit is making. And as their messages come out, you know, one place we see an emphasis for the need in our life, what we need to be in this hour. In another place, we see the lateness of the hour and what is happening according to the time that we're living in. In another place, we see then that how God presently among us at this stage of our Christian experience that we have been journeying for all these years, looking for the fulfillment of what is spoken concerning the bride in the last days as a body of believers. See, in another place, in our own individual life, see that how God is dealing with us and where we feel in our own faith, in our experience, that we come into that maturity, that adoption, that placing. We begin to understand our place in our position in Christ. We know our standing, we know our state, mind battles, all these things. I mean, look at for even the months before we came into this with the new creation, and the months before that with all those messages and justification, the atonement, and these things. Now you sit and realize what the Spirit has done for just this year, these 7 months. That we come to. You know what I'm saying? And this is where we need to really focus and try as a people sometimes to sit and pause. Because as the word come forth, sometimes our minds could hardly contain it. Our minds could hardly grasp it. But what really brings life? What really brings strength? What really brings a focus? What really brings a concentrated life? What really brings an experience that is zero to the word? Is when you are beginning to see behind all what is being said, what the objective of the Spirit is. That is what really does it. So then you can discern what you see and discern what you hear correctly, because it puts you in the Spirit now to realize what God is doing. And then some of you find it as your word coming forth, the books flashing to you. You know what book you want to go and read. You know what tape you want to go back and listen to. Because it helps, brings out clear. Say, oh, the Spirit had dealt with that back there some 2 years ago. And look at the Spirit come right back and picking up the same thing on a high level. Now I need to go back and get that now and crystallize your thinking now. And you know, now you've been to catch how God is bringing you to a place. Because in your own faith, remember you craving certain things as a believer. Remember you as a believer looking for a change in this hour. You shall not sleep, but you shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, Enoch had this testimony and he pleased God and he was translated. Is that right? Even before he translated, he had this testimony and he pleased God. Faith was being revealed to him, not just faith, but faith that came into a rapturing faith. You know the start of boom and the rapture in faith? That faith is grow and grow and grow. And each day you walk with the sister something like just a closer walk with thee. That's what we desire. Amen. It's so appropriate. That's what we desire in our hearts. A closer walk. And then our brother comes and says things that ought to be. Why? Because if all these things is happening, breaking upon us, then we want that closer walk. That's why we want the closer walk. Amen. Because we see the Spirit is taking us into the unknown, into the unseen, into the supernatural. You see, like I was telling some of the saints when we gather for family worship this week, that here, this the hour we have come to, you have to have faith for a supernatural God. Sarah and them come along. She come along following Abraham, not with no supernatural in her life. But Abraham was having supernatural experiences. And he was, you know, standing a certain way. And that's why he was not standing through unbelief. But she was laughing with unbelief because she had no supernatural in her life. But then the hour came that she had to be brought into the supernatural. She had to have faith for the supernatural. Because there was no way she could continue just walking with her mental faith and going to the promise. God now had to bring a divine interruption, bring a change in the music sheet, change the rhythm, change the beat in the drama of her life. Amen. Cause her to hit a spot where she had to crave and desire to know God in a supernatural way. She's not just going to live a moral life. She's not just going to say, I ain't sinning, I ain't lusting, I ain't this, I'm staying with my husband, I'm staying with Abraham. No. She has to come to a place now. She has to start to know that supernatural one. So God says that Sarah was going to have a child. Because before she had the supernatural, she had a manufacturing thing. She trying to manufacture something. She trying to work it out in the mind. See? Maybe it's by Hagar. Maybe Abraham. I think you're misunderstanding, you know. No, I say that you ain't know what God telling you, you know, Abraham, but I mean, if what God tell you was so, I don't have it already. Maybe that ain't the way God mean it. And you know, you get that.
You get people over the years, every time they hit a certain spot and a hard experience come in their life and they're being tried. This is how I know God called me. But maybe I ain't one. You got people come along for years and then go back. See? And they reach a spot in their life. They don't want to be that way. They want to be a real Christian. They want to have faith. Is that right? They want to come to a certain spot. But you know what happens? They reach a place now that they find that, you know, something is going wrong. Something is going wrong. You have to believe God. Now, the same as an individual, we as a church too. We as a church too. What does tune you into these things is that you see the distance you have reached in the journey. You've seen how He brought you. You've seen how He dealt with you from stage to stage. And you hit a spot. You say, Lord, here now. The supernatural have to go to work. Yes, amen. Amen. In other words, when Abraham is going up the mountain, he can make a natural journey with the donkey, with the fire, with the wood, with the boy. But when he reaches up the mountain, he had to go into the supernatural to get a ram. It just can't go unnatural no more. It had to move into another realm. Amen. Glory. And that's the way it has to be. And we just can't think church and message and try to behave. We gotta move beyond that. The believer in their heart that following something. See, you said, Lord, you say that. Lord, that's your word. That's your program. If I think I have it wrong, well, look, Abraham lied, shall the program of the believer. Look, Ruth lied, shall the program of the believer. Is that right? Look, you called Ruth. Look, you brought she out. She had to make a decision. She had to serve. She had to get rest. Then she was rewarded. She had boys. Was in that lot. You limit like inheritance. She ended up in the millennium. Is that right? Glory. Redeemed. Look at Abraham started a. They are following God. Coming by faith, not knowing where he's going. Look at the man standing at the end with faith. He said, the Lord and I will go and worship and come back. We're going to come back. He knew he's going to kill the boy. When the boy said, Daddy, look at fire and the wood, like a discovery, strike the boy. The boy said, oh God, Daddy, the father knew all along. Them quiet moments, you see the father, yeah, mumbling something to himself. He don't know what was going on. He didn't find out just being religious, not being religious. He don't tell the boy, he don't know. The boy don't understand that. Amen. But in the next realm, praying, communication. Amen. He's going over in his mind, Lord, you call me out. He's in the stage where they try to manufacture that boy. He's going back down to the years of experience. He's going back down to the channel that come. He's going back to the place where he tried to run away from the blessing. He see how God bring him back in the land. He see when he make mistakes, how God show him, not in your own mistakes, going to take you out. And his faith begin to find a source where faith begin to be anointed. And that's what it is. You as a believer walking. We coming down through these years walking. You think it's church? You propose man preaching, trying to make up a little message and holding people together and kind of make them feel God doing something. If you think it's that, you forget it. Amen. But if the church fall apart and God give you 15 years, you watch and you'll see me still. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You know why? Hallelujah. Being confident that He'll begin the work, will perform it even until that day. He's the author and the finish of your faith. He found you as a sinner. He quickened that word inside of you. He did the add word upon word. Bring you to a very place where the second fall of this seventh seal has been revealed. Yeah. What passed in unknown language, man still trying to burst the brains of figure it out. And God bring from Genesis to Revelation inside His church. Yeah. Amen. You see, a man don't have to go every day to pull out his credentials to remind himself, I walk with my driver's license and my ID card in my wallet every day. I don't go nowhere. I travel inside of me. Bible tells me to remind myself that is me. And I have a driving permit. Oh, that's my name. You know what I'm saying? You'd rather go down in these things every day. But when a situation comes, you pull it out. Genuine experience. God brought you to them places. Prove that that has been his word. When man jump up down in a new thing and say, God do this now, God do this now, that now happening. You said that now happening? And you go right back to the credentials, amen. To the God has done all through the years. Amen. You see? Because you believe you met God. You didn't get influenced that somebody tell you the message right. I hope. No, some of you might be coming on that. But let that become a revelation in your heart. The message is only the channel. Whether it's a message or not, you as a predestinated seed. You know what I'm saying? And you as predestined before the message came. This message will make you predestinated. The prophet will make you predestinated. No, sir. The message just lets you know you are being predestinated. The message takes the fears and doubt out of your life. The message shows you how to identify who you are in the world. Because you are predestinated, you're going to hear the message. My sheep will hear my voice. It had sheep laying there to respond to the word. That's why God sent the word. Amen. So you know you met the word. You know you met God. And that is real to you. You see, but while some of us was in our baby stage, we wasn't understanding everything. You know, you come in here to church one night and somebody invites you, you come in and sit down and you hear the word and you say something all right, and you go to hear it once, twice, three times, you come along, you don't know if you want to follow that, make up your mind, and okay, then you come and say, okay, can I be in the yield? All the time you're not conscious, I'm submitting. I mean, you're going through an experience. It begins to take a hold of you. You might begin to notice it in your own life coming on. All right? And you're noticing it coming on in your life. You see, but these trains are getting more interesting, this thing. Like, I get happy when I go there. You like the way they say it, boy, they really believe it. It's the way they say it. It gives my faith. You know, like when I was, you know, like someone tell me that's the truth. And you're going through these kind of experiences. But after a while, you grow up from there so fast and you forget you used to behave that way. And then one day God tell you, look back at yourself 4 or 5 years ago. Or look back at yourself when you started to come along. And you see yourself at that time, you wasn't even sure you was right. You wasn't even sure you was in the right thing. You should get frightened. Every little bad experience you go through, you think you're lost and maybe God didn't love you or something like that. And then after a while, you start to learn to realize, no, you have assurance. God show your ways now to deal with them fears. Deal with those cares that the devil bring. All them things want to frighten you and paralyze your faith and you can't do action. All them things, where those conceptions, they make you feel the supernatural is something out there. All you hear to stand up on your head or whatever you're waiting for. All these years and you never get that. And then God's going to show sympathies. How you've been coming through. I mean, your life being changed. Then you begin to accept, but wait, now, God is you. Amen. I mean, you have that kind of experience, right? Sure? Amen. Amen. Just fellowship in the night. Let's try to capture the feeling. I want you to see, over the years, you said, I'm getting ready to leave. I want to talk to you a little bit, that you can feel in your heart, we are not following common device fables. We're following this word. In a close way, in an intimate way. In a very divine way. And that's why we need to pray for understanding.
You see, to some of us, it's like, it is song good. Oh, he could preach, boy. He could preach it. Is that that? Let me come to the pulpit here tonight. God knows the truth. Busy old and Porter spin back and forth and travel agent office. I'm not trying to, but what I'm trying to say is, the revelation, I am the revelation. If I come to the place, I don't know I'm the revelation, something be wrong. Because it's not being educated into, it's not being born into, birthed into. And looking back and see down through those years that he had brought me, and following word by word by word, and trying to preach it to you as fast as he give it to me, I speak it to you. And then you grasp it and you see it in your own life and it confirms it to you, you are a believer and you identify God, you know you are party too. Amen. See the experience you have when it's preached from the word, you can say that is the word because you have the right kind of experience. Amen. So our fellowship here in the word is something in the word.
Yeah,
amen. Sure, we have opportunities, we get close to each other and talk and laugh and as much as God will allow us and time will permit. But the real thing is, our union is in the word. Amen. We are word cells that make up our word body. Amen. Make up our bride body. Amen. Make up our body of believers. Amen. That God wants to come down and work in to fulfill his word in this hour. And this word, this carcass that God sent forth in this day, that a prophet, vindicated prophet was sent to reveal these things that we can ask them to feed on. In this hour of famine, when people feed on all kind of vomit and worldliness and all kind of man-made theology, we have something here that is showing us the every step of the way. And to us, it's not just unrelated subjects all over we're trying to learn. It's a pathway that leads to glory. You know what I'm saying? In the message, there's a pathway that leads to glory. And we are walking in that pathway. That is what makes the message unique. Because in every season, to make the next step, it unfolds the way to walk. It gives the anointing to deal with the conditions. It makes you an overcomer in every season. That you can see how you are becoming the word. That you can live in victory. You can walk in the spirit. Amen. You can see how God is bringing you. Amen. To fulfill what you've spoken. Amen. In this day. And it's great to you. And because you catch it. The men in the church. Fathers. Potential fathers. Young men. They get that. They get gluted, they pick it up. Then in the old home, they take that bread and they break it. Sure, that's what it is. Then it goes out there. Sisters, God anoint, give it to them too. Amen. Because some of them individuals in their own, God don't deal with everybody. Where you have an order in a home and where you have no order in a home, God knows to give it. Where a man's in the head of a house, God knows to give it to him. Where is a young sister or a young brother somewhere on their own, God knows to give it to them too. Because he knows he must give to each person the environment to fulfill the responsibility to shine the light, to live in victory, wherever they are. He feed every one of us. Amen. Now when we get together here, is a collected, not just a collected group of people, but it's experiences that gather here. It's a revelation, a unity of a revelation, a unity of spirit. Amen. A unity of purpose. And while we gather here, we know, Lord, that this is the hour. When we get in our prayer meetings and we get in the spirit, almighty church, under all this inspiration, Brother Bishop himself was talking last night. He said, boy, we miss Ulrich. Say yes, it's the truth. He said, think of all this inspiration that come forth in the last 3 months. He said, all we're going to write about 2-3 songs on that already. Because he had a way to move into it. You see? He'll be singing it all this morning and all this is happening. See? Like the night we go back and we pull some of the old numbers when it's at a break in the early stage. But you see, the thing is, you see how when God gives find the places, you see how those things shine out in its place by the grace of God, you see. But it's wonderful, and it's an hour where God is placing his people. You see, he's placing his people, and he's speaking to his place people. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
He's placing his people and he's speaking to his placed people. Because what is actually happening, there are some who has been placed. They know the place. They know the position in Christ. They're not fumbling around. We're running here, there, wondering what God's going to do. Some people are going to end up the day of the translation still wondering what they want to do. What they have to do for the Lord. That's what the message is. See? That's what the message is. Sometimes we see, we fail to realize because, you see, we don't know all what God is doing through us. And that sometimes hinders us when we approach it mentally. We feel our faith get paralyzed. We get depressed. I ain't doing nothing for the Lord. If you do what where you place you, you serve there joyfully as a real Christian. Instead of you're going to work all burned down, flustered, you go on the work. They know you're a Christian, go to some church. But they relate to a Christian in the sense of, well, that Christianity, they have about 900 and something, you're just one of them. 970 different denominations, and you're just another one of the big cluster of what they call Christians. But when they begin to see, now you're different, you just talk different. When they get in your presence and you talk to them, there's something there that stands out. See? When they see how you do your work and your attitude in the job. When they see how you shine your light in your workplace in these things. They know, this person is something different. Because you see, just like when God planted a tree, he put a cedar up in the mountain. He put a cactus out in the desert. Right? God put the flower and the vegetation in another place too. Each one of them have their position in the natural realm, in botany life. Then you take marine life. God know he put the whales, you know he put the sharks, you know he put everything, all of the sea. But each one have the different depth of water, a different place for the swimming. The octopus are way down below the sea. They have the position. They just like down there. See, and God laid them out. Because everything that God, every form of life that he sends, whether it's botany life, animal life, marine life, the little rabbit that is whole, he in the same jungle with the tiger and the lion. And yet the time he just come out to feed, he's as secure as because God designed him. He come out to feed, maybe that time when the lion come out to feed too. See? And the deer, he have a sort of tame, timid spirit. But yeah, he out there, them big rhinoceros and panther and puma and all these kind of spirits outside there. Tiger and everything else. Yet the sense of smell that he has, he is as secure living in his God-given sense. Staying in his God-given position. He is as secure. He don't have to frighten. He don't need burglar proof to walk around with. God give him a sense to live in. And you the believer, that's why you could be in the world and not of the world. Because God give you the super sense. He give you a sense of faith. You could walk in the world. But yet your mind, your affection, certain things above. Amen. Hallelujah. You stand out there. You have another desire. Another testimony. You see all them vipers with them poison fangs behind them, painted lips and the job. They can't bite you and poison you. No way! Hallelujah! Glory be to God, amen! The word in your heart, sons of God, turn your face, amen! If you look upon them and the lust and commit adultery in your heart, turn your face! Hallelujah! But the Christ in the control tower, turn you, amen! Another direction, why? As it was in the Lord, I'm going to get trapped. In the time of Balaam, that's going to get trapped. Amen. And you're going to overcome in this age.
God knows to do it.
Bring it us.
No, look at Jesus. Let me strike our scripture quick before time get away on us. Look at Jesus here speaking. And it's something very interesting because the first thing that he is speaking when he came to Nicodemus was, you must be born again. You know, that is a very tremendous thing because it baffles so many people. The new birth. What is the new birth? Until it's all explained away. Satan knows that is one of the doctrines in the church. He must confuse people's minds about. He must bring interpretations around. That is the same thing today. Even though the truth has come back, some people still don't know what even is the Holy Ghost. Some people still don't know exactly what is the real evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people believe in the Holy Spirit, still have the wrong conception, so they can't move into the promise. You say, how move into the promise? The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost has to come from nowhere to baptize you. He's here. You see, you can follow the word and still have a wrong concept of the program. Look at the disciples, they're following Jesus all these years. And he is speaking a sow and for the sow, a seed. That was not just a message he was preaching that day, making a little type. He was explaining how God in a particular age brings the people to the promise in that age and the order of how those things come to pass in a believer life. God raises up a man. God anoints him with the word. He goes from being a plant seed for God. God, after he plants the teaching, put seed in the field, then the rain come to fall and plant the word. So Jesus was revealing that to them as to show them what was happening in the age. Why they had to be sitting in meeting after meeting after meeting. Why he had to be going from one subject to the next. They started to understand that's how God does it. Amen. That you can know the age, you can know the promises, you can know these things. And here you teach them that and showing them. And then by the time the ministry was finished and he had died, they were so disenchanted. They want to go back. They get confused here. The sisters begin to cry. The brothers walk into the room and say, we thought this would be the thing. But like everything fall apart now. Jesus died. What are we going to do now? Who's going to pierce the land about fishing? Everybody's going to look backwards. See, confusion struck the church because they were failing to understand the program for the age. They were failing to understand how it was going. They had failed to read the junction times. So when they ought to be in the spirit of the word, they couldn't get it. So here them sisters come out looking for the body. And they're trying to get a hold of his body. Because they was relating to a physical body all the time. So they went looking for the body now with balm and spices and myrrh and aloes. So we're going to keep the body. We're going to embark God of the body. Maybe if the body was alive and could do so much things for us, the dead body might do about half as much and that could still be good enough for us. You see, it showed where the contact was. It showed the realm that they related to the thing on. A flesh realm. A surface realm. The outer realm. External. And when they went for the body, here them angels, two young men stood there and says, why is he going to live among the dead? He says, wait. He said, can't you remember? He tell you all that he was going to be in Galilee after the third day he's going to rise again? Did the angel say that? Let's don't read over too fast. Let's go a little closer now. How them angels knew that? Did them angels see them people in them meeting? Did them angels know Jesus was preaching that and they was in that service? Amen. Because the angel is telling them that, and this is how we never hear him preach that, no, he never really said, I was in that service. I hear somebody talking, I wasn't there. The angel say, oh, sorry, I make a mistake. I take you for it. He didn't have that. He had that? So in that next world, These people who had materialized themselves appear to believers. They could tell him, you all was in the meeting. He preached that to you all. Because he knew after Moses and Elijah had come and talked to him about his disease. He came and he preached and he tell you all, he grew up in Jerusalem. He being treated much evil. Certainly going to happen to him. But in the third day, he's going to rise again and he will meet you all in Galilee. He said, look, you're going to email us these here, come back in the tomb. What's the matter with you all? You all believe the word? He says, go on to Galilee. He will be waiting there. Because he unfold to you all the program for that very hour. You understand how I'm saying it? You see, in their mind was Jesus, and they're just going around following, they're just hearing little messages. But those angels was there then, because how could Jesus say, I can call for 12 legions of angels right now? Where they what? They say, where 12? He said, Lord, you want 12 legions? Where are they going to come from? But he was like Elisha. And he could see in the next room all the angels in charge of fire was right there. All right? Now, many of us, I'm saying this to bring it to a certain spot. Many of us believe in healings. Many of us believe in miracles. Many believe in it. But we believe in it in the sense that it strikes the mind don't reject it. But when it's revealed, you think in the places between there. Your mind is ending, you just think in the places between there. And you realize, if that is supernatural, and that ain't coming from no natural ability, it can't be unseen. If it can't be unseen, something there unseen is producing that. We are seeing the result, but we are not seeing the one who producing it. Amen. When those things happen, it means there is someone present. He might remain invisible to our eyes. Then, if you can see how you move into it and how he responded, then when the next situation comes, you can know how to approach the next time. You know what I'm saying? No, that's when revelation strike you. When revelation strike you, you think between the places. You don't say, yeah, God, let's do that. Those people right there say, wait now, you mean we're going to service all the time and the angels is watching us? Really, the angels is put you in your seat? Really, say angels has been the meeting there and camp around about us. When he went up, these men silent and said, why stand you gazing? No, that early church had a ministry of angels because Jesus being a prophet. Amen. When he came, and he was so familiar with the unseen world and all his preaching was things from the unseen. Yeah. Yeah. He lived in the unseen. He said, I do nothing except do what? Father, first show me. Show me, not just I hear it. Only Father, show me because I see it. Yeah. Where are you seeing it from? From the unseen realm, in the realm of vision. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. And he tell them in Matthew 18:10. He says, take care to despise these little ones because the angels behold my Father's face in heaven day and night. Did he say it? Why is he telling them that? He's getting them conscious of life in another realm. He's trying to talk to Nicodemus and he's trying to get him conscious of the unseen too. He's talking to the disciples and telling them, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, a place prepared for you there too. And you'll go to that place one day. Why does he keep preaching to them about that unseen world? He's telling the politicians and the army men, I can call for legions of angels and set me free right now. You can't take me. No man can take my life. I laid it down. He can go to Pilate and tell him, you can't touch me except it's given to you from above. Is that right? Yeah. So whether it's the politician, whether it's a believer, whether it's the religious world, Where there's a mother and children, he is showing them there's another world. And he tells the Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and spirit, you can't see God breaking the realm. You gotta get another sense into coming into operation to sort of deal with the unseen. Except a man be born of water, you can't see, understand the kingdom of God. It don't come by observation. Is that right? Why was Jesus so interested in raising us up from the earthly sphere to bring us into the realm of spirit? When they look at him there, he said, "Think of the flesh? The flesh profit nothing. It's the Father that dwelt in me that doeth the works. It's the Spirit that giveth life." Did he say it? We thought that things just happen, you know, like miracles, and they just happen just like that. But when God had one of a gift in this age to explain it, he says, if that heart is not in the right place according to the vision, he said, that could never even take place. Is that right? But we stay right there, we just leave it right there. And we realize all these things are fixed. Everything. This world that we live in here. Now I say, if Sarah had to come into the supernatural to get that faith for the promise, we in this hour, if we have to come into a change of body, if we have to go into a theophany, if sleeping sins are going to come and appear to us, if them like flying saucers going to pick you up one of these days, there'll be hide nor bone nor hair left. That, those things is not going to come by natural means. Is that right? Then if the Holy Ghost is among the people, what is the Holy Ghost doing? He wants to lift us up in the heavenly places. You see, we like to build a position in Christ. Sure, that's why it's a heavenly place. Because it's not your position here, and it's a position in Christ. Amen. What God has made you. A channel that God has given you. Access to God that God has given you. Amen? Let me tell you, you are mother and you taking care of your child faithfully. You are just as a minister in the presence of God. Who had a contributed life day and night? Because when you're taking care of that child that God gave you, nursing it, training it, caring for it, with the love, with the affection, doing your vocation, because that life came from God. Is that right? Then you are serving God in the place that God put you to serve him. And you are walking worthy of your vocation. You are fulfilling your obligation to him. And right in there, he's going to reveal mysteries to you of his own self. Amen. So look at Jesus. He begins to tell Nicodemus that you must be born again. Now his first coming, when Jesus came, Jesus knew he had come to bring a new birth to us. That is why he was born different in the way we were born. He knew he came to bruise his serpent head, and the serpent head was that first birth. We come by the way of the serpent seed. We come by that way that birth was wrong. And from the time the birth was wrong and man began to born dead, God gave the promise of the woman getting a seed of another birth coming. And Jesus knew fully well it was the birth that was wrong, and to correct it, we had to get a new birth. That means he that is born of flesh is flesh, and he that is born of spirit is spirit. All right? So then when he stood here now, speaking to this man, he began to try to tell this man, look, is your birth. The program of God is here. The plan of God has not been revealed. He's the woman's seed. He's the one that Moses raised up in the wilderness that bruised that serpent that was judging that pole. Yeah. What was that serpent? That was the serpent that deceived Eve. But that serpent represented sin judge. It was an pole lifted up, showing the serpent had already crushed. According to the prophecy that was given. Is that right? And the people who were being bit by the serpent and was dying represented the human race who had sinned against God and was now dying. But God had a divine provision. Something that God revealed through his prophet, an atonement to be raised up. And it was a brass serpent, and the brass represents judgment. And the serpent was represented sin from the Garden of Eden that brought the fall. That brought death upon the human race. And Jesus said, as Moses, right here in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent, he was telling Nicodemus, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That's why you are to be born again. You are dealing with him. You're born wrong. And I am come, born different to you, born by a virgin birth, to correct that, to bring you into life. That you can enter into real life. And Nicodemus couldn't even grasp. He was born wrong. He said, how can a man be born again? Shall he look at his mother's womb? He can grasp it. And Jesus tell him earthly things. That only bring forth a flesh man. That didn't bring forth the spirit man. That birth brought forth animal man. The image of the beast, not the image of God. Because Genesis 2:7 was man in the image of beast. Genesis 1 was man in the image of God. Because natural man is a mammal, is that right? It's a warm-blooded animal. If you know the biology. A woman gives suck to a young like a dog, like a cow, like anything else. Her body is designed to nurse a young. And we multiply just like them. But that birth couldn't bring the spirit man. That birth couldn't bring the theophany. Because the theophany had to come without a woman. It's a body that don't come from a woman. It's a body that come by creation. And the first man that came didn't come by a woman. Did Adam come by a woman? No, God made Adam in his own image and likeness. Without a woman. So Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to see. He said, if you can't understand earthly things, well, you will be religious. You'll go to church 24 hours a day. You'll keep all the traditions. You will do all these good works. You'll be faithful and loyal to your church. But you still won't see the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And he was showing him now how he came, the Son of Man came to be lifted up in death. That what? He might bring a new birth to us. Kill that old nature and nail it to the cross. To give out the water and blood from his body and give up the Holy Spirit. To bring a new birth to us. And when that Holy Spirit comes, now watch, he knows his first coming, when the Son of Man came the first time and was revealed amongst us, what did it do? It produced a new birth. Did it produce a new body? No. It produced a new birth. When he comes a second time, he's going to produce a new body.
Amen.
This time we're going to get a new body. Not just a new birth. We're going to get a new body this time too. That's why he says, I will go and I will come again. But you'll have the Holy Spirit with you to lead you in that new nature where you can be taught the word now. Because I am the way. And he's going to bring you right back
to the Father, where he was in the image and likeness of the Father when he first created you. He's going to bring you right back there. But he said, when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. Why? Because when I come there, you will need a new birth again. You understand that? When he's coming to us and he says, he's not to give us a next new birth. If you have the new birth now, when he appear, you don't want another new birth. See, he's going to take you to that mansion. He's going to give you a new body. You remember my message some years ago on the new city in the new heaven and the new earth? And the new city could only come down after the earth become a new earth and the heaven become a new heaven? And showing that theophany can only come back in this resurrected body? And the same way he does with the earth is what he do with us now, you see? It's because it's something that is unfolding in the believer life. And he begins to speak to them here and says, look, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, how could you understand? You can't understand how could you bear heavenly things? And Jesus could not go further with Nicodemus, who represented the ecclesiastical world. He could not go further with them because he couldn't even get them to a new birth. But the disciples who had fallen the body, holding on to the body, he had to shake them away and let them know, no, you can't hold on to the body. He said, I plant seed in you. I plant my word in you. You go up now and get the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have me around because it's not my body's going to bring this. You see, they had fallen the body. That just the prophet, we had fallen the body of the prophet. And when he died, people started to cry, oh my, they wish the prophet could be back here. And you hear them ever so often, but I wish Brother Abraham was here. I wish we had no sense of nonsense. Don't know the plan of God. Amen. The flesh profited nothing. Amen. The flesh never did nothing in the first place. Amen. See? But the one who was veiled in him, the one who was doing the works, is that right? Amen. The one who knows the secret of the heart, the one who's to produce the visions, the one who's to raise the dead. That wasn't a man. That was God. The Father that dwelt in me that dwelt the works. That one never went back. Hallelujah. That one never went back. He's still here. That's why Jesus told him, I will not leave you comfortless. The flesh had to go. And then they begin to realize, sitting down in all their meetings and receiving that seed, when the Spirit came upon them, out of their life was coming forth after his kind. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Peter was walking and people started to preach. Peter shouted and get healed. And the Son of Man, the physical body wasn't there. Paul was shaking a viper in the fire and raising the dead. And the physical Jesus wasn't there. Amen. Stephen, my deacon, but are doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And Peter, the pastor, them, no, Jesus wasn't there. Amen. When was? When the word that was planted in them coming forth after his kind. That is why in this hour, that is why in this hour, if we have understood what he has been doing, what is taking place, when we sit under the word like this, when we talk and fellowship and encourage us in the faith, put us each other to remembrance, stir up our pure minds by putting us into remembrance, like what I'm doing tonight. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he said, the Lord show me shortly, I'll put off this tabernacle.
Well, he's going to put off by death, but we're not going to put off by death. We're going to be clothed upon with our other tabernacle. Yeah. But while we're in this tabernacle, we can stir up your minds and put you in remembrance. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Glory. So Jesus couldn't tell them heavenly things. And when he came to his own disciples, he says, I have many things to tell you now, but you cannot bear it. Is that right?
Yeah.
He said, you can't bear it. He said, but how be it when the Spirit of truth is come? In other words, I gotta come back and pop a tent and have a big meeting on Mount of Olives and reveal these things to you. Though you can't bear it back there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand how I'm saying that? In other words, I'll be with you in another way, it'll still be me. But when you have more reason to see it, when it's more in season, I, who is performing miracles, is now revealing truth, will reveal to you what you have need of. He said the Spirit is going to lead you and guide you to all truth. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. As we close. Do you realize he's trying to talk to us of heavenly things?
Yeah.
I hope we can bear it. You're not Nicodemus, and you're not the disciples back before they get the Holy Ghost. Some of you might be, but to the church, we'll be under the word. It's rapturing time. He always wanted to get his church into that heavenly place. Verse 9. Let's take from verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. This Paul writing, he tell them how he didn't come in enticing words, a man of wisdom and these things, but he says, we speak to them wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this age, all these great, learned, world-renowned scientists, intellectuals, and so on, that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory and been crucified a second time. Is that right? By the generation. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. You love him tonight?
Yeah.
You have some things prepared for you. He said, my father house and many mansions, I prepare a place for you. He told Moses and them, I'll send an angel to keep you in the way, to bring you to the place I prepared for you. Yeah, make preparations. I would say, just like when children are being born in a family, the father and mother make preparations for the child that's to be born in the home. So God in his kingdom make preparations for those who are going to be born in that kingdom. Is that right? So God prepares everything. See, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Couldn't be revealed until them seven seals open. It was sealed up on them seals and man, I couldn't see the happening here. No man can get it to speak it. No man can look at it because it was sealed up in the book.
Yeah, amen.
But when that book is open, yeah, and when there's a voice on earth, yeah, and when there's a cherubim to say, come and see, then man can come and see. Then a voice began to speak, and then the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God will be finished. Then man could hear what God had prepared. He could hear about the future home, things that are to be. Who is this Melchizedek? All these great eternal things. Yea, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I always tell you, things are what? Mysteries. Elijah will truly come and restore all things. When the Holy Spirit is come, he'll guide you to all things. See, things, that is mysteries, that is truths. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Paul is trying to emphasize here, these things of God can only come by divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit is speaking, they speak it in words that man wisdom can't teach, because the Spirit in man can't search that. Amen. It's hid from them. Amen. The telescope trying to look through 120 billion years of light space. Trying to find man. They make all kinds of space probes. Astronauts go up ever so often trying to find something out there. And a man slipped in his bedroom, not 20 feet from where he was, and was in the midst of millions of people. Yeah. Even his horse and his dog and all of them died was there. Is that right? Yeah. Yet it was in the Bible. Yeah. Science can't find the instrument. They can't break into no instrument to break into. They're trying to invent some form of transportation to go fast enough. But right now, the speed they had, Einstein said, is just like a crawling baby. See? But look at the bride, look where she's coming into. But she's coming right up where she can be changed and travel at the speed of thought. Because God is not trying to get a vehicle to go fast. God is changing man from the inside, making him a new creation. Like Jesus was changed, move right through the walls and these things. Well, we have to believe, my friends. How shall we receive heavenly things? Verse 12, look. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They laugh at you. It sounds crazy. In this age, that could happen. They still think it's UFOs. Aliens, they paint all kind of green men, come out of a flying saucer, they get E.T., they bring all the kind of things, because the imagination trying to bring it down in a way to relate to it. And we can look back in the wood and see, before Sodom was burnt, investigating angels of judgment begin to appear, before God destroyed, scattered the people in Tower of Babel, God came down. Is that right? Sure, you always come out of a junction time. Glory, mystic lights appear. When Egypt had come to the end, back there, a light came on the mountain and met a prophet. Begin to reveal to that prophet the nation was finished. Deliverance of his people was at hand. Get under the token, all these things. And the people of God could make preparations to leave while that whole nation would be destroyed. Look at the same God again. While the world don't understand, we are being made to understand. The wisdom of God comparing spiritual with spiritual. The natural man don't understand it. See, they are fools of them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It can only be discerned by divine revelation, the word of truth. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And that spiritual means spirit-filled. That doesn't just mean you think it's spiritual, that means spirit-filled. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have this mind of Christ.
Chapter 8.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. He is saying, the Spirit of God searches all these deep things. He said, but I can't speak to you as spiritual. I have to speak to you as carnal, as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For to this time, you were not able to bear it. God, Jesus told them, they couldn't bear that truth. The mind couldn't grasp it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. That's the condition at Corinthian churches. And here he's going to tell them why they was yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, is there envying among you? Is there strife among you? Is there division among you? Then forget heavenly things. He said, are you not carnal and walk as men? But watch me. That's where the church have to desire what God promised and try to meet the condition to enter into what God promised. And when you see the thing that disqualify you, envy, strife, all these things, divisions, then what you do? You put them things away for you. You pray for more love to make you unite, make you a little more spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you can be taught heavenly things. Then you can come into the supernatural, into a rapturing feet. Otherwise, you sit there and struggle and struggle and struggle with the mind. You can't break through. He said, for while one said, I am of Paul, another said, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? I prefer this one. I rather this one. I find so. This one has rebuked me. This one has pat me on the back. This one's also. He said, are you not carnal?
You're carnal.
You're going away. See? So this is where he was showing them. Jesus said, the Spirit will come back. But how did the Spirit come back? Sure, the Spirit came back and baptized people, but to teach them the word. How did it come back? It didn't come to every brother and sister. It come where one was gifted to bring that word. And he brought the word. And he began to tell them, but God took him beyond the curtain of time. Is that right? In 2 Corinthians 5, he tells them, he says, Jesus just tell them, you have angels in heaven. He says, angel, behold your father's face. Jesus tells him, he says, in my father's house are many mansions. But when he went there, he said, this earthly tabernacle be reserved. You have one. He said, I know a man 14 years ago was taken up into heaven. He said, I was in paradise and I saw things that evil lawful to speak. Is that right?
Yeah.
What did God do in this day? The same thing. And when he went there, that had to come, friend. You know why that had to come? Because the seals was fixing to be open and the rapture was at hand. And for the people on earth who is to go to those theophanies, it had to be made known what is there clearly. Because for superstition all these years, the Jehovah's Witnesses say, we have no soul. It's like the wind we breathe, like just like the animals. The Seventh-day Adventists say, soul sleeping, you're unconscious, nobody know nothing. The prophet himself taught, he said, well, the body like a man, but you can't shake nobody's hand on these things. Or your hand in the grave. He said, could you imagine? I always fear death. Because I think I'm going to like a little cloud of smoke. I said, but I never there, I can't shake his hand. How will they go in the rapture? How will they go into that place with all that superstition? He says, but look, it was like, it was on a superstitious mountain. He said, you know what happened? He says, it had all these spooks on this mountain. Everybody had a little idea. It had some ghosts out there. People afraid this place, out in Arizona. So he said, one night he decided to prove what is all the scary things that people have seen out there. So he goes with his flashlight. Pack it up with some good high-powered batteries and so on. And you get out there in the dark. And when it gets really dark on the mountain, you put on the flashlight. And you begin to look around with the flashlight. He said, well, that little flashlight was only showing a little spot here, a little spot here, a little spot here. He couldn't see nothing. All of the spooks like all around there. Place looked like it haunted. He said, well, I'm going to stay right here until daybreak and the sunrise. Because when the sun rises, it's going to uncover everything this flashlight can't cover. See? It was like, he said, that was like the reformer ages. All the men had a little bit of light. Luther had a little light. Wesley had a little light. Pentecost had a little light. Everybody had a little flashlight. They see the little corner here. They say, it looked like a man, but I ain't sure it's a man. Look at our wings, but I ain't sure it's wings. It looked like it's blood, but I ain't sure it's really blood. He says, but he waited until the day break. And when the day break and the sun rose, it's the rising of the sun. But when the greatest light that ever shone came forth and began to shine, every spook was uncovered. Then we had nothing to fear. Then we know exactly what lay there. And that's when these seven seals open up and the Son of Man was revealed again. It uncovered every little idea, tradition, every little spook, every imagination of some man, and it brought the true word back into view. And the way has been made clear so we can know where we are going and how we are being taken there by the grace of God. Amen. And you know, it's a tremendous time for us. And I trust that over these few months and even just speaking to tonight, just fellowshipping with you a little bit, just back and forth, little scattered places, I trust that the Holy Spirit somewhere could just lift your faith to see. We are sitting down here watching for the coming of the Lord. We are believing the promise in our heart. We are nursing from the breast of the El Shaddai. We are trying to walk closer every day. We want to grasp it. We want to get it real. Realize it as the Spirit break forth more and more among us. Look at the service Sunday morning there. Last two services especially. You see, breaking forth right into this realm of the Word and bringing those things out and bring it down to you. I was sharing with some of the saints how Jesus talked about those angels, that the children angels behold the Father. And I said, look at a simple thing. Which was first, the theophany or your body? Your theophany was first. Because Adam had a theophany where he came to flesh. But get this. He says when he went beyond the curtain of time, he saw Hope and she had brown eyes. And she still had black hair. And he saw different people with different color hair, different color skin, different things. Over there, many kinds of mansions. Now watch, if Hope had black eye, brown eyes and black hair in that theophany, and that theophany was before the physical body, then wouldn't the physical body have to come by election to determine that it will have to have brown eyes and black hair? Then it would have to have an intelligence to stop which sperm and which egg, and that will determine how tall the person will be, what the color hair will be, what they're going to like. Did he not say a natural birth come by election is more mysterious than the virgin birth? Because your natural body had to be made off of your theophany. Isn't the natural body a negative? Is it like a photographer when you take the picture? That's a negative. Then what? How does he develop it? He goes into what? His dark room. Is that right? And in his dark room, he develops the picture and bring it to the positive. He said, and death is how God develops the picture. Take it through that dark valley of death. Is that right? And take it through death to develop the picture and bring you back to that theophany and then in the positive again. Isn't that what he said? He said, I'll show you. He said, because it has sperm and not egg. Millions of sperm, millions of eggs coming like that. He said, many times this sperm looks like going to hook up to this egg and it bypasses it for some purpose. And another one that looked like it didn't have a good chance to hook up comes and hook up. He said, what does that? He said, some intelligence controls that. And that determines whether you're going to be blue eye, blonde hair, black hair, brown eyes. Is that right? Didn't Jesus say no man could, by taking thought, add one cubit to his stature? You can't make yourself what you ain't. He says, My grandmother was a Cherokee and my mother was a half-breed. He said, and because of that, he says, I love nature. I love to hunt and to fish. He said, but that was God preparing me for this age because Elijah was to be a woodsman. So if God had make a man, he said, when my mother, people was Irish, and my father, people was Irish all the way back. But then my father couldn't marry. See? Into the Cherokee, and that broke the Irish bloodlines. Why did God have to break the Irish bloodlines? So he could bring a man with a wilderness nature. Because you don't want Elijah, but in hotels and big auditorium, you want a man out in the woods, stomping out in the wilderness. Hallelujah! Who preaches but wood and stone and serpent and grass in woodman terminologies. Is that right? Was Elijah a woodsman? Was Elisha a woodsman? Was John the Baptist with the same spirit another woodsman? Exactly. He says, oh God, design your life, your makeup, your preaching, even for the age that he's going to send you in. Amen. So friends, when we look and we see those things, aren't you glad? Shouldn't you be thankful that God made you the way he made you? Let me ask you this now. When a man tries to take a sex operation, become a woman. When a person tries to inject things inside the body to change the color of the skin and change different things, do they have a theophany back there? You understand what I'm saying? All right, I'll leave you right there. I say enough. By God's grace. To let you see. You see, where does the pressure come from? From the cosmos around us. If we could break through that cosmos. But why was the Holy Spirit sent? To quicken you and raise you up. Put you in another sense. That this cosmos can't hold your earth bound. Make you heavenly. And you can set your affections and things above. Then he can tell you heavenly things. Amen. Then you can come into that place, into a rapture in grace in this hour. You know, Sunday in the service there, the sister who came from Calvary's Tabernacle to be prayed for, well, she sent back a little note here tonight, and she wrote it, I guess, in her own handwriting. She said, greetings in the Lord. My name is Rita Harrigan. I came to your church last Sunday. My son, who is a member, he's right there, sitting on there, of your church brought me there, and you prayed for me, Pastor, for cancer on the womb and a stomach disorder. I thank you very much. I love your church and how you were a very expressive in your preaching. As soon as I can make it, I will return. I feel much better. I am eating, because you couldn't eat all the time, and that's the problem. The food has come. Say, I'm eating. The food is staying down. No vomiting, no diarrhea. Thanks be to God and you, his servant. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. All praise and honor and glory be unto the Lamb of God. Amen. He is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Say, thank you, dear pastor. Another little note she writes again. Two of them she has here. I thank you, dear pastor. Hoping to see you as soon as possible. Yours humbly, Rita Harrigan, and her address. I'm going to leave it with the deacons there. Ravine Road, Pitty Valley, Capitol Hill, Flats, Apartment B. Amen. So isn't God wonderful? Yeah. Oh my, I came here tonight. You know, the scripture says Sunday, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And I said, God would have mercy to that woman, and he did have mercy to her. He did show her grace, and she wrote this back tonight, and she's just so thankful, and she wants to come. And you see, God is just merciful. The thing that sometimes people can come and just, somebody strike you, just move right into it by the grace of God. What it ought to do to us believers. Who is walking around it day and night. I say, may God give us faith. for the supernatural. May he lift us up in our higher bracket of faith. May he cause us to believe, trust him in our hearts, and come sincerely and watch God will always prove his word by them who truly believe. Let us bow our heads over the prayer tonight. Loving Father, we love you so much. We appreciate you, dear God, tonight, just being in your presence, fellowshipping around your word, just feeling the desire, believing it came from you, just to talk to my people, Lord, them that have tried to shepherd and feed the word of God down through these years, part of the flock of God here tonight. And dear God, as we sit, Lord, just talking about these things, Lord, stirring up their minds, putting them in remembrance, Lord, that they can see your grace, your tender hand, the tender hand of Jehovah leading us down through these years, and now speaking to us heavenly things after you spoke to us earthly things. Oh God, this in your first coming, it produced a new birth, but in the second coming, it's going to produce a new body and a theophany. Lord, we thank you for this. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, and we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. I pray, dear God, hearts and lives will be encouraged tonight to serve you. Lord, to walk closer, to search the scriptures, to examine the word, to see the hour that we are living in, to search out the lies, to bring themselves and surrender to your word, oh God, that your Holy Spirit might come into our hearts and take full, complete control, that we can be led and directed, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our lives that we live could be to your praise and to your glory. And dear God, this marvelous thing that you have done for this dear lady, this sister, oh God, Lord, coming in Sunday, dear God, and you being gracious to her, she being grateful to send back the note tonight, Lord, known and writing, dear God, testifying of your goodness to her and the experience that she have entered into, and recognizing, oh God, how it followed the prayer of faith among the people in the assembly, oh God. And now she wants to return, make a way for her, dear God, and she can come back. Oh God, may she be visited, may she be encouraged and strengthened, may she be brought to a place she can be established in the word and know the will of God, even for a soul, not just a body, oh God. But Lord, that even through that experience, her mind could open up to the Spirit, Lord, and the Spirit of God could reveal the will and plan of God for her life. Hallelujah. That, dear God, in this late hour, we all can find that channel where we can walk in the perfect will of God. Bless the people tonight, dear God. Father, how we thank you for the time we've spent here. Lord God, for the things that have been communicated. I pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit make it so real in our hearts. May it cause us, oh God, to be brought into a deeper life. We thank you for them that have ministered in song. We thank you for all that have contributed, the musicians, the people with the faith and the prayers, the presence, oh God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, as we stand here tonight, oh God, believe in you and trust in you. We look, dear God, that you would do the exceedingly abundantly. Oh God, you would come to lead us and guide us in these days to come, Father, the way would be so clear. We could walk and follow, oh God, faithfully, Father, that you could bring us out, that these things could be made manifest in our lives, and that we, oh God, can show forth your praise. We can show forth your salvation, that you have beautified us through it. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh God, you, the great King Theophany, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Oh, thou art the great King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus now unto the King eternal. Amen. Brother Leon Joseph also give God thanks towards his wife, Sister Mercy. She's now in a stable condition after prayer was offered. Amen. Hallelujah. So everything is so wonderful to see what God is doing among his people. May he encourage us to believe and trust him. For all, we remember our sister, I was talking to her son, this is Lena Alexander here. I remember she had shown me her hands some weeks ago, could be a little more than a month, up on the hill, it bursted up all over and stitches in different places trying to hold together.
my, when I saw that, and then she wanted me to pray and says, wait until tomorrow. I said, wait until tomorrow, would you wait? And you know, when we come tomorrow in the service and we can maybe anoint you with the oil and pray for you. And she came here. And I think she sent a note of praise, and I didn't even see it, maybe it was misplaced somewhere. And she showed me the hands yesterday. I said, you didn't give God a praise, you didn't testify. She said, well, I sent a prayer request. I think somebody said it was misplaced. But it was so completely healed. Not even a little place. Amen. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out, friend. God is a supernatural God. It's a supernatural message. It's a supernatural hour. It's a supernatural bride. Amen. May we believe God and we will see. If we believe the little things, greater things than these shall you see. Blessed be his wonderful name.
The only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Now unto the King, lift your hands and praise him. That King Theophany, Paul knew he was eternal, no bigger than death, no end in our lives. The great Melchizedek. Wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Oh, sing it again with his presence that touched that sister on Sunday. Amen. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 One more time. Now unto the King. King eternal. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. The only wise God. God, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, dwelling in light and immortality under which no man can approach. Hallelujah. I have an announcement for the youth convention. You know, as we sing that song, I wanted to just maybe a little quote for you. Services up, but I just want to just quote here for you. As I sing that song, surely he knew about the rest would be true. So said she just believed God. It was the day after she had been to the meeting. She was washing the dishes and said all of a sudden something happened and a real cool feeling went through her and she began to cry and said she didn't know what had happened. She ran over and taking some sweet milk. Usually the sweet milk, the stomach so hot with fever, she'd vomit it right up. She'd drink a glass of sweet milk and rarely felt fine. Said she ran over to tell her neighbor, and her neighbor was on all fours, thanking God that she'd just been healed too. He said, what was it? The angel of God had seen her fate and was passing through the neighborhood, confirming his word with signs and wonders. There it was, and those two women was just so happy, rejoicing. The other had a female disorder, and it struck her at the same time. They was in the meeting. They couldn't get in the prayer line. They heard the discernment, and they sat there believing God. But that angel who is in the service knows everybody and every need. And he saw the faith, he says. And that angel, next day, meeting is finished. People back to the work. Prophet on his way home, maybe. She's in a kitchen doing her dishes. The angel passing through the neighborhood, ducks in into her home, passed through the kitchen, heals her, goes out, drops over the neighbor, her friend, heals her too. Then she experiences and drink the milk.
Then she run to her friend, meet her friend on all fours, down on her knees and her hands, praising God. Why, struck both of them at the same time. Amen. And that's like I was telling you Sunday too. He passes in the home. I don't see him. They didn't see no angel. Did they see the angel pass in the house? They felt something cool. And they saw the results that followed. And he says that was the angel passed through there. Because they was believing God. Amen. You know, the convention dates are we have the youth convention plan, and we try to do it just before school reopens on September the 7th. So the young people, many who have to go to school and who don't have to go to school, they all, you know, this new term and this new season here for them, they can really receive a fresh charge of faith. And the meetings is scheduled for the 28th, 29th, and the 30th. We are going to have a get acquainted night on the 27th, like we did the last time, which is the Thursday, the 27th. And then the meetings begin. We have a brother from overseas going to come to speak. The meetings begin Friday evening at 7, then Saturday at 6, then Sunday morning at 10, and that'll be the young people. I want to say young people, single people, and I know we have young married couples, them too. You know, people get confused and they say, I'm married now, and I mean, your influence, your testimony, your experiences with young people. And when God begins to bring young people into the state of marriage, then it makes it so much better that now they can be a real example to the young single people who potentially will be married too. It should have no reason to disassociate. It's just coming up to another level of responsibility. But we all want to be responsible people, whether married or unmarried. And then in the evening, the final service, Sunday the 30th, we are going to have the entire assembly, because if we don't, then the assembly wouldn't have any time to worship over the weekend. And our regular time of worship is Sunday. So Sunday evening will be a general service at 6 in the evening. Then the Monday is Independence Day, the 31st. And we have a little time of get acquainted and a little farewell fellowship with the brothers that would be here from overseas, that they would leave, I think, the Tuesday. So it would be wonderful. So keep praying for the meetings. Then we also had asked, we have no other way to go than the way we went the last time. So we would be informing and keeping in communication with the rest of the assembly, because we have it already designated to approach you for supplying the lunch on the Sunday for the young people. They have the forms to fill out and the different things. Same we did last year for Friday night and Saturday night. So Sunday, we're going to be having two services. They're going to be on the premises. So then we will be approaching you and we'll let you know. And the people we're approaching who would be preparing the meal for them that day. And in the evening, we'll not have no refreshment, just maybe some natural soft drinks, which we have in our regular system in the assembly by the grace of God. So let's really pray that God give us a wonderful time. Last year had a great influence on many people outside the realms of the church and outside even the realms of the message. And we trust that this time the young people can really be strengthened. God can really give them a really great experience, and we can even see souls saved that who are not saved, that they can really invite and bring someone out, and that God would make it a real blessing as intended to be. And right now that the practice sessions and different things are already in progress, these things, we keep abreast with it as it go along, what we have to do, our different responsibilities in the local assembly. But we all want to be involved in a way we can help put our hand to the wheel and see the need be met, and where we can give support, spiritual strength, support in our prayers, our words of encouragement, and these things that we can really, with our influence and the Christ in our life, cause them to walk closer, that they can really draw something that would help them on in their Christian experience. So God bless you. We have prayer service Friday night at 7 p.m. and service Sunday morning, Lord willing. I am supposing to leave either Sunday evening or Monday, still undecided. I'm trying to leave Monday, and if not, I'll have to leave Sunday evening. You pray for me. I'm tired. I'm feeling nervous. My stomach is not even feeling too good, but nevertheless, you know, I guess that's my experience. Whenever you have to go somewhere, it's always like, you know, you're just trying to get muster up strength, and you just seem so busy all the time. But may you pray for me. I certainly covered your prayers. That is not going to be easy out there. It's not rich people. It's not greatly civilized places. It's going to be very tough. It's going to be very difficult conditions to have services under. The trip alone is almost a strenuous thing. About 9 hours to London, and then about 12 hours to Kenya, and then, you know, 7 hour time difference. And it's just going to be very difficult. I've got the conditions to move around back and forth in services, and these people travel on foot, coming to services miles and miles with children. And sometimes they meet under conditions, no acoustic sometimes, and it's really tough. So you just pray, and especially when you go out in the field to do this kind of work, it's not a joyride, I can guarantee you that. It's something, and these things that we have been blessed, we've been refreshed with, to help lift the faith of God's people, wherever they are, that the word can be ministered to his people, that the faith can be perfected. And if we in our assembly here can have a little part in what goes on the outside, it's a highway.
It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up the king.
Okay, you have me sing it, come on.
It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there
but the pure in heart.
It's a highway to heaven, walking up the highway to heaven. God's a glory, oh, it's a highway to heaven, walking up the mountain.
Amen. You're dismissed. Oh.